141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we look back on European action and, more importantly, ahead to Old Firm weekend. Celtic are out but do win in Stuttgart, so what does that mean for the team on Sunday? Luke McCowan says no one can touch Celtic on form. Danny Rule points out they're sitting third, and Martin O'Neill queries why the Rangers head coach is talking about his team. It's not the only show in town though, because what about Hearts and Motherwell trying to win tomorrow and put pressure on before Sunday? I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me this evening you have Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans.
A war of words between the Old Firm managers. That's just what we need, Scotty, to get us going Friday night, 48 hours before the big game. My other favourite quote from Rangers head coach Danny Rule today was, he wants his players to approach the game against Celtic, and I quote, with a hot heart and a smart mind. Now that sounds to me like the profile of our callers tonight, tomorrow and on Sunday.
Yeah, listen, I don't mind a bit of needle. Obviously, getting into a game with such importance to both teams. Gordon obviously speaks about Motherwell and Hearts tomorrow. What a chance for them to... Motherwell obviously put pressure on Celtic and Hearts to extend their lead. And I actually thought it was a bit of a momentum builder for Celtic last night. 8 changes, could have been a really difficult game. They did have their struggles in it, but they defended valiantly, in my opinion, and scored a really good goal. So it just adds that little bit of doubt for people who thought it was going to be a Rangers win, as easy as that on Sunday. So a lot to look forward to.
This house of mine that keeps on getting put up against football results, I would have put the house on Stuttgart last night. The house. And I know of Celtic supporters who were afraid to turn on the television, not even watch it. So is it a momentum changer? That's the point, because it was a great historic victory for Celtic. After 17 attempts, they finally win in Germany. What impact does it have on Ibrox, if any?
0141 951 1025. This is the type of weekend shows like this were made for, and you play the biggest part. So let's hear from you right now, please. Let's do the lot. Let's work our way through it. Starting last night, Celtic fans, what did you take away from it? What pleased you? Who pleased you? And was that enough to start the game this weekend? Was it enough to see the team mixed up? If you need any extra nudge in the right direction, who starts in goal? Sinisalo comes in last night, keeps a clean sheet, didn't do anything wrong, made a couple of smart saves. Does that mean he gets the nod ahead of Kasper Schmeichel? Or will Martin O'Neill go with the old experienced head in that environment? As Hugh quite rightly says, the tabloids would call it a war of words. I don't really know what it is, but it was an interesting back and forward. Luke McCowan says no one can touch Celtic on form. Danny Rule says, why are they sitting third then? And then Martin O'Neill questions why Danny Rule is talking about his team. This is the sort of fun we get into on weekends like this. Who was right? Who was wrong? Do you care? Does it matter? You tell us. It's Friday night before the big game. That means bravado. That means predictions. That means hopes, fears, all the rest of it. Get them into us on the phone as well. And what about the bigger picture? Because it's not just about these two. I know Hugh Keevans will tell you it's the only two teams that matter in planet football this weekend. But we need to throw that rule book out the window, Hugh.
Yeah.
Because what if Hearts win tomorrow and pile the pressure on them both? What if actually Hearts are the big winners from this weekend, or dare I say it, Motherwell?
I think the games tomorrow are terrific. Dundee United and Aberdeen, I think, possibly played the worst game of football in the history of our game.
I can confirm
during
that.
During the week, yep. They brought the game into disrepute. They were so bad. Now, Dundee United go to Fir Park. Mercedes Jens is batting away the speculation linking him with Celtic. He knows that he still retains a chance of doing something if Ibrox were to end in a draw, for example, and he beats Dundee United. So I fancy them strongly at Fir Park. Aberdeen are hopeless. The game that brought Scottish football into disrepute also had the worst miss of the season from Kevin Nisbet. They're hopeless. And they're going to Tynecastle. I can't see anything other than a Hearts win and a Motherwell win.
I'm stopping you right there. I've heard you curse teams for years. I will not let you do it to the Steelmen.
You can't be at this stage of the season and how consistent Motherwell have been worried about that game.
I wasn't until he mentioned it. I was feeling absolutely fine.
Sometimes I get things right.
He stuck his oar in. Anyway, 01419511025. So much to get through. And what Hugh, it never fails to amaze me this, because from the outside, people must think you lot meet four times a season, sometimes five, yeah, sometimes it'll be six this season. Yeah. How can it still be different? How can it still be interesting? How can it still be exciting, engaging, dramatic? And every single one has something new and huge riding on it.
What have I always told you since the day and hour you came in here?
It is a separate life form.
That's it. It's a separate life form. It is a matter of life and death. In fact, it's more important than that.
Let's go to Thomas, who's going to kick things off on the phone. Let's hear from as many of you as possible. Thomas in East Kilbride, what's in your mind?
Well, first of all, evening, Gordon, Hugh, Scott. Pleasure to be on the show once again.
Thank you, Thomas.
So, a couple of points this evening. First of all, looking back on the game, as a Celtic fan, looking back on the game last night against Stuttgart, what I have to say, obviously, first of all, you know, you can easily sort of brush it under the carpet by saying, as much as we won, we're out, it doesn't mean anything. But I think what it does mean is it could be the start of a momentum building exercise for the team. Obviously, a positive result, despite the fact we're out. And I think the main takeaway is that a couple of players, in my view, have really played their way in. Not necessarily in a couple of the cases, I would say that they probably need to play, but there's still a couple of others that you think have gave Martin O'Neill a bit of a headache going into Sunday's game.
What do you make of it then, Hugh? As Thomas talks about this, such a funny situation to be in, because everybody, and I mean everybody, if you don't agree on much, everybody agreed Celtic were out at full time in Glasgow last week.
Yep.
So you will hear people say, well, does last night really matter then? How could it possibly matter? You lost, you went out. But you know the way this show works, it would have mattered if Celtic had lost 5-0 last night.
Absolutely.
And then they would have been battered for that. So where is that middle ground? How much positivity can you take when ultimately you went out and it was a dead rubber?
You take pride in the fact that you played the team fourth in the Bundesliga on their ground and you beat them. It's as simple as that. And it lifted the air of despair which had followed the 4-1 loss to Stuttgart in Glasgow and the 2-1 loss to Hibs. For the first time in 16 years, Hibs won a league game at Celtic Park. The mood of despair had Celtic lost in Germany last night would have been a sight to behold. But they take that as a one-off and then they have to go again at Ibrox, because I genuinely believe if Celtic lose at Ibrox, then you can't really go talking about the title. It won't be your concern anymore.
What is the right amount of praise, Scott, for what was obviously a good win? It is miles different from what people thought it was going to be, but they had to defend a lot and the tie was over. All the stuff that everybody knows, where do you sort of pitch your level of praise at Celtic?
Yeah, I do think it deserves praise. I think to go over there, it's in a place where I think they've only lost to Bayern Munich this season. A game where, out with Kasper Schmeichel's mistakes last week, they were in the game, Celtic. I did feel that. But last night, to go over there, score early on, I thought it was a really good goal, well-taken goal from McCowan. Adamu in the build-up as well, nice bit of link-up play. And then large periods they had to defend. But it's not what we haven't seen from Celtic in Europe away from home this season. When they actually get forced back and they have to defend in numbers, they've been pretty solid. So that's what I think. I think that's the pride. They'll take that pride from it and the fact they came away with a clean sheet, and that gives them a much better headspace going into a game against Rangers at the weekend.
Thomas, who, when you mentioned a couple of players that you were teasing me, who stood out and do they force their way into the team? And I've got one position in mind that I'm looking at you about.
Well, in terms of that position, I could obviously, I know you're referring to the goalkeeper situation, and I would say, personally, I was of the view that Kasper Schmeichel should have been dropped for the Hibs match. And, you know, once he wasn't, I was then of the point of view that Martin O'Neill was always going to keep with Kasper Schmeichel no matter what. But seeing Viljami Sinisalo's performance last night, I think if I was the manager, he would be starting on Sunday. Do I think Martin O'Neill's going to start him on Sunday? 50-50 for me, but I think I would definitely play him. Another one that I think has gave the manager a headache is Junior Adamu. I think his performance last night was very impressive. Some nice hold-up play, obviously got the assist for McCowan's goal. And I would be of a mind to play him and potentially even change it up a wee bit and go two up front, but that might be a bit of a risk.
Well, you're getting excited now, Thomas. You're getting carried away with yourself. You never know. You always say it's a separate life form. The obvious debate is, and the great thing about goalkeeping as well, 50-50, you just pick a side. Has last night changed the picture for you?
Martin O'Neill can't win in this one. If he plays Sinisalo and Celtic lose, people will say, why did you pitch in an inexperienced goalkeeper? If he plays Schmeichel and Celtic lose, they'll say, why did you go with someone who's so clearly off form?
What gives you the best chance of winning though then?
I think Sinisalo should play. I think he played very confidently last night.
It's a key word for me.
I go back to the last Celtic Rangers game, and I know it was during the dreadful time of Wilfried Nancy, but Kasper Schmeichel was suspect that day. He's been suspect most of the season, let's be honest. And if I had to give you my direct answer now, I would say Sinisalo should play.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I think just obviously coming off the back of a clean sheet, some good saves, didn't really put a foot wrong in my opinion. I think he's probably the more confident goalkeeper getting into Sunday.
Is there a tendency to overstate how good he was last night just because of the circumstances?
Yeah, but I think
because you say he didn't put a foot wrong.
Yeah, but he'd done the basics well. There's nothing wrong with that. I just feel Kasper Schmeichel, one of the most senior players in your dressing room, no doubt had a fantastic career, but when you're going through troubles, you're looking to these sort of guys to lead. He's just not been performing. So there comes a time where you've given someone an opportunity away in Stuttgart to get a clean sheet. You have to follow that up with giving them the chance to play against Rangers for me.
I know nothing will compare to an Old Firm derby at Celtic Park or at Ibrox, but he did, in a Bundesliga ground, packed to capacity.
Sure.
He did acquit himself confidently.
Is there a case to say the telltale sign though was Hibbs and Kasper Schmeichel playing then? You know, if he was going to make that change, if Kasper Schmeichel was going to be dropped. So last night.
No, I wouldn't necessarily.
Because we don't know last night what was just about rotation and freshness. Whereas at Hibbs after Stuttgart, was that not the chance?
All a matter of
to change the goalie.
Personal interpretation.
Yeah.
When they lost 4-1 to Stuttgart, Martin O'Neill, having listened to Schmeichel being booed by the Celtic fans, I remain convinced, personal opinion, that he thought, I'll pick the team, not the fans.
Okay, thank you very much to Thomas. What are you thinking out there, Celtic fans, Schmeichel or Sinisalo this weekend? Scott, give us the Rangers perspective.
I'm optimistic for Sunday, as all Rangers fans should be. First of all, sorry, good evening to you and Scott.
Hi there.
How you doing, Scott?
I'm optimistic for Sunday. Just listening, obviously, to Schmeichel and Sinisalo. As a Rangers fan, I hope that Martin O'Neill has rested Schmeichel for Sunday. Because, obviously, if he's not in form and stuff like that, it makes it easier for us. But I feel that I think for Rangers, I have to step up is Raskin. Raskin's been pretty off par the last couple of games.
Do you feel like he does quite often step up in this game, Scott?
He does, but he steps up in this game especially, but stepping up in Old Firm isn't going to win the league. You have to be consistent, and I think that's where he lacks, in my opinion.
I don't think there'll be any problem with anyone stepping up. I think the atmosphere at Ibrox come 12 o'clock Sunday will be something to behold, and you know, the players of both teams will respond to that. There will be Celtic fans there. So Raskin is a good player. He has, for me, disciplinary issues. He's a bit hot-headed for me, but I'm sure he'll be picked. I'm sure he'll start. And I don't think there'll be any problem with him stepping up.
Yeah, I think for me, Gordon, that sort of game's perfect for him. He is, for me, skill set is being combative, getting in the box and scoring goals. I think the problem, and I've had this view in Nico Raskin for a while now, when it is a game where Rangers have to control, he isn't really clean on the ball. And that's something that he maybe needs to work on. But when it comes to the Rangers Celtic fixture, there's no getting away from it. He's someone who he's a million percent in your starting lineup because you know he's going to compete, he's going to be going about the duels, and he's going to hit the box and try and score goals, and he has scored goals. The biggest thing for me is that Asgard can't start. Asgard can't start for me. No.
So does that mean Rangers go two strikers?
Yeah, I'd go two strikers. I wouldn't have Asgard and Mikey Moore in the starting lineup together.
Two strikers being?
Nadirian.
Chirmita.
Yeah. Scott talked to us about the implications and what this could mean if X team wins and X team loses and all that sort of stuff. Where does this leave the title race? What is on the line this weekend?
The title is on the line.
So as in the loser's gone?
No, I wouldn't say the loser is gone, but a draw is as bad as a defeat. That's imperative.
Draw's a disaster, defeat's a catastrophe.
Scott's talking emotionally there, surely, though, because I mean, arithmetically, what if they drew the game? It damages. Oh, so, to be fair, you mean in comparison to Hearts, then, of course?
In comparison to Hearts.
Right, yeah, I suppose. Well, we need that other thing, Hugh, because we don't know what Hearts will do first.
Yeah, exactly. In this crazy season, you know, Hearts have suffered another serious injury blow with the loss of Stuart Finlay, and they keep it rising above all of this. And I do repeat, Aberdeen are rotten. But in this crazy season, who thought that Livingston would draw 2-2 with the Rangers last weekend?
Me.
You?
Yeah, I said last week it would be a really difficult game for Rangers.
Oh, so you're the smart Alec.
I think Gordon had his hand up as well.
Actually, the thing is, I'm not going to take too much credit for it because I might have just been Marvin biased. I did say to you in here last Friday, I thought he was going to pull something out, but anyway.
Well, he certainly did, but, you know, it would be a bad, bad day at the office for Derek McInnes if Hearts were to drop anything at home to Aberdeen.
In front of Sir Alex Ferguson, no less.
Yeah, the man who's now masterminding the title push.
So, Scott, you think if Rangers lose the game, they could still win the title? If Celtic lose it, they could still win the title?
It would be hard.
Yeah.
It would be hard for whoever loses the game to win the title.
Good man. Scott and Ayr, thank you very much. Good time to get the calls in. We're going to pause for breath and speak to you when we return. We're also going to hear from various sides. Is it a war of words? I don't know. That's the easiest way of describing it. They're all in disagreement anyway. Luke McCowan started it. Danny Rule had a nibble. Martin O'Neill nibbled back. Hugh Keevans will take a big bite when we return. So get your calls in.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans are here. It's 0141 951 1025. So get your calls in and let us know what you're thinking. This game didn't need any further spice to the build up, but it has got quite a bit. Luke McCowan, speaking after the game last night, said that no one, when Celtic are on form, no one can touch them. That was put to Danny Rule. Here's what he had to say in response.
Yeah, I think at the moment we're in the second position. They are behind us. I think they have at the moment 7 or 8 defeats. Yeah, I think general, it makes no sense to speak too much about the other side. We have to focus on ourselves. I was a little bit surprised after 1-0 that they're not trying to win this game 2-3-0 to have a chance. They keep the result until the end. I think that is a little bit apart. But yeah, it will be interesting as well in the goalkeeper position, what he's doing now. Let's see.
And then here's what Martin O'Neill had to say about that.
He thought we didn't try to win the tie. He wants to be involved in some of these games. Yeah, I never saw it like that. I mean, if we were driven back because they are actually a very, very good team. They're in the top four in the Bundesliga. I'm surprised he would have made a comment like that. He's picking our team. Well done, old Danny. Well done. He's only in less than a year himself. I should know all about it in the next 4 or 5 years. I must sit down here and see if I can find out. Maybe he might have a choice of some players, and maybe I could put my oar in there, you know, and find out what he's doing. Sorry, I have to laugh. He's had a comment about our team, as in the picking of the team. Extraordinary, absolutely extraordinary. He hasn't been in Glasgow long.
Is that the sort of comment that, in your time here, comments like that, can they come back and bite you?
In my time, absolutely right. They definitely can. There's no need for him to be commenting on my team. our side. I think he possesses a very, very decent team over there, and it's going to be tough for us to try and get a result. But regardless, we're still fighting.
I honestly didn't expect this, so soon to the match, because one thing about Danny Rule, he's had a marvellous time of it at Rangers with regard to the domestic scene, the league title. Rangers were out of it altogether under Russell Martin. Danny Rule has put them in as genuine title challengers. But I always credited him with being straight up and down and not controversial in what he says. Didn't expect those little nibbles about the goalkeeper and about what Luke McCowan said. I expected Luke McCowan to say what he said, because Luke McCowan speaks like a Celtic fan. He is, as Tommy Burns said, a fan with a jersey. So I expect Luke McCowan to say things like that. I think in the middle you find Martin O'Neill, who's been course and distance, 25 years worth of dealing with Old Firm rivalry, and I think he perhaps feels, although he didn't use the word, but I think he feels that Danny Rule was disrespectful.
Let's hear from Gary, who's a Rangers fan. What do you think, Gary?
All right, gents, evening. How are we doing? Okay.
Good.
I just think the way the position in the league with these two managers sitting second and third, two bit of tick for tack and stuff like that. Obviously, going into Sunday, they're just it's just about mind games and stuff like that. So it's just banter at the end of the day. But I don't think Danny Rule should be getting involved, to be honest with you. I think he'd just be focused on chasing hearts. That's all that's all I'm thinking about.
There was a good line in the middle of it where he said, it doesn't make sense to talk too much about the opposition, having already spoken about them and going on to speak about them again. Is it all good fun, Scott Allen? Gary, as a Rangers fan, is saying he'd have preferred if Danny Rule just kind of ignored what McCowan said. It doesn't matter.
The player one, I agree with you. I think as players after a game, and you're maybe not well rehearsing what you're going to say, so it just comes unnaturally what you really want to say. I think from a manager's point of view, it's quite strange to hear Danny Rule speak about Celtic 1-0 and then not going to try and win the game, when he'd understood how difficult a game that would have been for Celtic to win away to Stuttgart. I found that bit really quite strange, to be honest. And if I was on the other side, if it was Martin O'Neill, I would find that disrespectful, because you don't usually hear
is that just because we're so set in our ways here? Does it matter? Do you know what I mean?
Do you know what the
should people not just speak for
strange? Why? Strange one to speak about, I thought, and how Celtic actually played in the game. But at the same time, it might get that weird reaction he's maybe wanting out of Martin O'Neill.
When you have back-to-back Old Firm games, Sunday to Sunday, League and Cup, you try and keep the tension at a minimum. You know, it's for fans to come on here and give their opinion, be as animated as they like, but those in charge...
But what if it works, though? What if it fires your players up? Whoever it is, whatever it is, what if it lights a wee fire under your players and it goes and inspires them?
I'm talking about the effect it has on the crowd.
I know, but listen, let's keep it to what we kind of know. We're talking about the outcome of the football match.
This is what I know. I've watched it for
that's
decades.
Most likely to fire up the Celtic players if you sat and listened to that, I think.
So you don't think he's saying to his players, see that Luke McCowan thinks they've got the...
Oh, the Luke McCowan one.
Can touch
the Luke
them.
McCowan, yeah. That's just, listen, that just isn't true, especially this season. But in terms of the manager, I feel if you were a Celtic player listening to talk about how he's played away to Stuttgart, having made 8 changes, I think you would take that quite personal.
When you're at the big clubs, go back to Derek McInnes referring to the inexperienced coach at Celtic. And the inexperienced coach later phoned him to apologise for what he had said during the course of the Hearts-Celtic game. You're at a big club. Behave in that fashion. And he, Danny Rule, is formerly of Bayern Munich as well. You know, he's been at the highest levels of the game. There's no need for that.
Gary, do you feel confident about the weekend as a Rangers fan?
I feel confident that if he plays the two big boys up front, and I really want to see Mikey Moore play off the side of him. I wouldn't play that. Is it Olsen?
Yep.
I wouldn't play him. I would maybe play him the following Sunday. Obviously the league's more important, but he's not up to pace just now. Especially you know, we need these 3 points for the league. That's more important.
Right, who what gives then, Scott? So if Nadiri and Chirmiti play, you know, the blueprint for this game against Hearts, obviously, I think that's what people are going back to. Yeah.
Yeah.
But even as good as Hearts are, and they're top of the league and all that stuff, they're not quite as like possession based as Celtic would look to be. Does that change anything? Because you obviously sacrifice somebody somewhere to allow the two strikers to play.
Yeah, but I feel having the two up against that Celtic back line, I think that gives you the best chance. For me, yes, last night they defended well, but I do think there'll be mistakes there if you put them under pressure. I think the two of them together looked like they linked up well, especially against Hearts.
I mean, what do you do elsewhere though to kind of make sure you don't lose out, because somebody needs to no play to allow the...
Scott Volson drops out for me.
Who plays off? So Mikey Moore plays off that side?
Yeah, Mikey Moore's your most creative player.
So if you want him out there?
And a goal scorer in touch.
He's got a goal scorer in touch, but what he's got real vision. And when he comes in off the side and he's driving in, the game opens up for him. So for me, yeah, Mikey Moore starts.
Okay, thank you, Gary. What about Andy, who's a Celtic fan? Andy, what are you saying about this back and forward in the press conferences today?
Evening, gentlemen. I should have said something there. I'm pretty sure he didn't even need to be disparaging, but to call Luke McCowan a fan with a jersey is a wee bit disparaging, because I think he's a very talented young Scottish footballer.
I thought you said you were sure he didn't mean it to be disparaging.
I also referenced it as being a quote from Tommy Burns. Tommy Burns described himself as a fan with a jersey, and Luke McCowan for me is in the direct line from Tommy Burns. He's a fan with a jersey. That's not to say that he can't play football. He is a fan with a Celtic jersey.
Brilliant. If he goes on to emulate Tommy Burns, he'll do okay.
Correct.
I'm in the opposite. I heard the Rangers fan there's entitled to his opinion. I'm actually over the moon at Luke McCown's statement last night. Do you know what? I think it's well overdue to say, like, fans, players put their chest up, put their chins up. And for the last 14 out of the last 15 seasons, Celtic have been the champions. Best team in the country by far. We had an abomination and a blip during December with the Nancy situation. I think if that we'd kept O'Neill in, we'd be well ahead. I think he's entitled to say it, and I'm glad he did. I've got another point, if that's okay.
Do you think does it still hold right now, like today, this week, say, when on form? You know, no one can touch us. Jinx Celtic have been good enough this season for that? Because you're right about the titles, obviously, but what winning the title 7 years ago, 6 years ago, 5 years ago wouldn't feed into whether you can touch Celtic currently, would it?
That's fair. Well, I don't know. Well, you look at it currently, the game was in Europe last night. I think for the last 10 European ties, Celtic have lost two in normal time. They've lost two of the last 10 away ties. With the Wilfred Nancy abomination I mentioned, they've lost one away tie domestically this season.
Where I would find fault with it, Andy, is that Celtic haven't been top of the Premiership table since September. Therefore, if you were untouchable, if you were the best team in the country, sometime during those 6 months you'd have gone back to the top of the table. So I don't think the statement was entirely accurate, but I fully understand why he said it in the aftermath of a result the like of which Celtic and the Celtic support did not expect.
I also kind of hope, Scott, to be honest, that I hope the Celtic players think they're the best. I hope the Rangers players think they're the best. I hope the Hearts players think they're the best. And you know who else I'll throw into the mix as well? Because if we're talking about ceilings this season and on our day, you'd need to put Motherwell in that bracket. So you can argue about the accuracy of it, and then you ask yourself, I don't know, does it matter anyway?
Ultimately, you get the chance to puff your chest out and show if you're going to be champions, and you get that real confidence yourself come Sunday. So we'll see you on Sunday. I think most fans, if you could ask what you want to see from your players, saying it in interviews or puffing your chest out, demanding the ball, being brave and going creating and showing how good a team you are, you want to see that on the pitch on Saturday. You can do all the talking you want, but ultimately it comes down to a match day.
What's been the high point of Celtic's performance levels this season, Andy? What's the What's the bit that Luke McCowan's referencing? If we can play like that, nobody else will live with us. Have Celtic done that enough this season?
There's been a few sort of a straightforward games at home with 4 and 5 nil victories, but you just need to look at Feyenoord away. The last three away games in Europe, where if you go back to Feyenoord, if we lose anything at that point, we're at that trophy. We're at it now, right? But they're games where you need to be tested. They're games where you need to show your resolve. The league form this season hasn't been great, but there have been things happening at Celtic Park as well, remember, in terms of the fallout between the board and the supporters, so the atmosphere hasn't been what it's been. Maybe being away from home, it's going to be a big factor for Celtic. I don't know. There's been enough there for, and I'm not saying this with green-tinted glasses, I genuinely am, there's been enough there for me to believe that the team can go in and win the league. And by the way, I don't believe the narrative either, that the team that loses on Sunday is out the title race. Absolutely not. The four top teams, if you include Motherwell, they've all still to play each other, so there's points to be dropped. If Celtic lose, they probably need to go on an exceptional run, similarly with Rangers. But listen, it's all to play for right up to the last day of the season.
You have to have cut the gap between Celtic and Hearts before the split comes, because you can't go into the split 6 points behind Hearts. There's no way you win the league from that standpoint.
No. Even if you beat Hearts, cuts it to 3, hoping for a snooker elsewhere.
For every positive that you throw me, I could throw you back a negative. What if they don't beat Hearts?
No, I just mean in terms of the, because you said you can't do it, and I was exploring whether
I think
you could.
I think if you start the split, the 5 games after the split, and you are 6 points behind Hearts, I don't think you win the title.
I'm looking at it. If Celtic don't win on Sunday and go up to Aberdeen, which then becomes the next biggest game of the season, to Sunday,
that changes midweek, doesn't it?
And they don't come away with anything other than a win, then for me it would be too much for Celtic then to claw back, because you just haven't seen that consistency in performance. I'm looking at the Motherwell, Rangers, Hearts games that Celtic have played this year, and Gary's touching on, yes, the Feyenoord game, they were outstanding that night, but against the three teams alone, I haven't seen Celtic dominate any of the matches for large spells, which is something we're not used to seeing over the last few years.
Thank you very much to Andy. Keep the calls coming. Before we go any further though, how about this?
Super Scoreboard off air at the Pavilion June 3rd. Tickets on sale now from Clyde1.com.
I just knew the chance to see Hugh Keevans on stage at the Pavilion and gently heckle him would be too much for many of you to resist. The tickets are selling fast. They are flying for Super Scoreboard off air at the Pavilion Theatre in Glasgow, Wednesday 3rd of June. Clear that calendar, get involved. It's all the stories that Hugh Keevans and Gordon DL, etc., all the things they're not allowed to say on the radio, I'm sure they'll be saving them up. So we're getting ready for the World Cup. We'll throw some special guests in there as well. The final tickets are on sale right now, but be quick. Under 16s are allowed, but they need to be accompanied by an adult. So check out all the details in our socials at Super Scoreboard off air, Pavilion Theatre, Glasgow, Wednesday, 3rd June.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen. You know, it's a big game, a truly exciting weekend, and that's all they talk about during the breaks as well. No small talk, no nothing else, no whinging about his grandkids or what he's up to or how many glasses of red he's going to have tonight. It's all about the action this weekend. So let's dive straight back in with John, who's a Ranger fan. How are you, John?
I am fine. Thank you very much for taking my call. Hope everyone's all good with you.
Thank you, John. What are you thinking tonight?
No, I'm just saying, I was just listening to a few previous callers there. I think that's great what Danny Rowe said. I think it's about time somebody over there stood up for the club and said a few words. And he's ruffled a few feathers, but he looks it up there. One-way traffic. Martin's come out there and kind of looks as if he's not happy with it. I know there's etiquette and everything else, but it can't be one-way traffic all the time against Rangers.
But he's not standing up for the club. He's commenting. Because he's commenting on Celtic's performance in Stuttgart.
So what's wrong with that, Sue? He's entitled to his opinion on it.
Yeah, but you use the expression standing up for the club. That's not standing up for his club. That's talking about another club. So that's all I'm saying to you. He spoke about who would play in goal for Celtic. That's not standing up for Rangers. That's talking about Celtic. Therefore, you came on and your core point is that he was standing up for the club. No, he wasn't. He was talking about another club.
Well, at the end of the day, Shu, he's entitled to talk about who he wants. He's entitled to him talk. He can talk about any player at any club he wants.
All that we were saying was that it was to Scott Allen's way of thinking and my way of thinking, it's disrespectful to talk about.
Do you think it's disrespectful or is it just like unusual?
Unusual is maybe a better word.
What's disrespectful about it? And I'm genuinely asking. I think this is quite uncharted territory.
I think by talking about his surprise about the way Celtic approached the game in Stuttgart, concentrate on what Rangers are doing. You know, because Danny Rule's record in European matches as Rangers manager is nothing at all to write home about. It's just a little insensitive. Bearing in mind that in this city, when you have back-to-back, Sunday-to-Sunday Old Firm games, you need to be careful because behaviour is an issue.
Honestly, Hugh, if somebody's behaviour is tipped over the edge because Danny Rule spoke about who should play in goal, that's that person's fault. It really, really is. I don't doubt that.
But, I go back to John's core point, standing up for the club. No, he wasn't. He was talking about another club.
What was it you think he was standing up against, John?
I think he was standing up and making a statement that he'll speak about what he wants for when he decides. What he thinks, he's entitled to say about any club, about any player, what he wants. But see, because I want to pick up on what you said there, disrespectful. Danny Rowe has really not got an interest, right, about what went on years ago about being respectful. There's a lot of people having to be respectful to the Glasgow Rangers shoe, and it's not been kind of a point to do.
That's not what Danny Rowe's doing though, John. I think you've sort of got this being your bonnet about ever from years ago and acting as if this is the same thing. So you think that Danny Rowe's talking about who plays in goals because people have said nasty things about Rangers 10 years ago?
Say that, Gordon. Listen. See, for years, people have said things about Rangers and we've let it go, right? Now, Danny Rowe is entitled to say what he wants about any game or any player, right? But see, as soon as he did it there, it ruffled a few feathers, right?
Yeah, but officially, you've no let it go, whatever it was, because that now you're talking about it.
Nobody
lets anything go in this city, John.
I'm glad that Danny Rowe's come out and pointed out that he thinks that whatever way Celtic played last night or who he thinks he could play in goals on Sunday, is he not entitled to do that? No.
He is, John, but what I'm saying to you is, whatever these things are that people have said about Rangers, you said you've let them go. You haven't let them go.
Listen, people have let them go. People have let them go. And if we would delve back in it again, there'd be nothing really carried on about certain things that's happened to Rangers since liquidation carry on.
I didn't expect to have to go back that far. Where was Danny Rowland? How old was Danny Rowland 2012?
He's 36 now.
There you go.
So go back 15 years. So he was 21.
He will have his revenge on the Brecon Hedge, Danny Rowle, after all these years. That just adds a bit of something, does it not? Because do you know what? What I do like about it is how you can obviously spin it whatever way you want. Because if you're John and you're a Rangers fan, I'd probably do the same and go, Danny Rowe's ruffled a few feathers, eh? But the Celtic fans can say, Luke McCowan's ruffled a few feathers. Nobody's right, nobody's wrong.
That's why it's the separate life form. There's nothing like this anywhere in the world.
Let's go to Ross, who's on the other line. Hi, Ross. Thank you to John.
Guys, hope you're well.
Good, thank you. Good. What are you thinking tonight?
Well, listen, in the game last night, I was a bit shocked, to be honest, the way we started the game. But I think in terms of the result, it was just a bit of confidence, to be honest, that we came away with a 1-0 win. But I just think if Martin O'Neill has got the same level of confidence on these players, I really hope he does stand up on Sunday. And I would start McCowan and Sinisalo. And I think if McCowan and Sinisalo don't start, I think it's a wee bit harsh on them, to be honest, because I thought last night they two were excellent, and I just hope Martin O'Neill has got the courage to do that in terms of changing the squad.
Do you put them into different categories, those two, though? Because Sinisalo, the whole point is he feels untested.
Yeah.
It's like you're dropping your number one keeper and bringing him in. Luke McCowan's played, you know, he's played a lot. He started games for Celtic. Yeah. He isn't, hasn't been a first choice a lot. So is that the same thing?
I think McCowan did enough last night. I'm not just talking about the goal, which he stuck away beautifully, but I think he did enough to suggest that he's worth a go on Sunday. Yeah, and by the same token, Sinisalo. The one area I'm surprised no one has touched upon is who's beside Scales in central defence. You know, again, Dean Murray acquitted himself very well last night. Ben Arthur apparently surprised a lot of people, impressed a lot of people just by his sheer size and when he came on as a sub against Hibs. I think that's a big call for Martin O'Neill to make, either Ben Arthur or Dean Murray at Ibrox.
Which one for you, Ross?
I think for me it's got to be Dean Murray, and the reason for that is I thought last night, Hugh, I don't know if you'll agree here, I thought in the first couple of minutes he was a wee bit shaky, but I think as the game went on he looked confident.
Yeah.
But for me, these games are about making your name, and I think everybody's got an opinion on Dean Murray that he had a howler, I think it was at Hearts or whatever it was.
Yep.
So I think if he was to come in on Sunday, Gordon, and have an absolute out of a game, I think it would give him confidence. But I just think in terms of the way he played last night, I think Dean Murray for me has got to start in beside Scales, and as I say, we'll see what happens, but I just hope that Martin O'Neill's got the confidence to go, do you know what, I'm going to play McCowan, I'm going to play Sinisalo, and I just hope we don't go down the pecking order of just picking your favourite pals, if that makes sense.
So what, McCowan with McGregor and Negrin in midfield?
I would go Atati. I would play Atati.
No Negrin.
I would leave Negrin on the bench. I'd leave him on the bench.
I totally accept that he doesn't always dazzle your eyesight, Scott, but
he's playing.
His numbers are through the roof.
Yeah,
surely.
He has to play. For me, it'll be Callum McGregor. Will he play Hitati or not? I don't know if he plays Oxlade Chamberlain. He's probably more inclined to play Oxlade Chamberlain. Obviously, bringing him in January, big game experience.
Where do you sit in the centre back one? Because Ross says Dean Murray. Hugh was fairly impressed with Dean Murray last night. It makes sense in the regard that he didn't got game time last night. He's played that Benjamin Arthur hasn't. Sorry to hark back to the January transfer window when everyone was just getting over it. It just, does it not feel like if your centre back that you identified and signed or whatever is still behind Dean Murray in the pecking order, like what was the point in it all?
Cover.
That's real cover, yeah, that, wasn't it? I mean, fourth choice.
It's a difficult one because he done fine last night, Dean Murray. There has been games over the last year or so where he's come in and he hasn't had the best of games. The Hearts one, obviously, been, I think he was at fault for three of the goals. But what I would say is, though, if you're bringing a guy through an academy and there is a real belief in here that he could be a Celtic player for years to come, that is factual. Why bring a guy in on loan and then play him in that game where you've got someone who has came through your youth academy who you've got belief in? If you were to then drop Dean Murray and bring in Ben Arthur, what does that say about the job you're doing in there? It's got different endings to it. For me, I'd probably go Dean Murray.
Okay, thank you to Ross. It's a lot of food for thought out there. Where are you, Celtic fans, on those other issues? The goalkeeping one has got everyone going, but Luke McCowan thrown into the mix by Ross, Dean Murray, is it Benjamin Arthur, Oxlade Chamberlain? There's so many possibilities. Pick up the phone whilst we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Surely even on tonight of all, I know tensions are high, but we can pause for some Beat the Pundit relaxation and hilarity. 01419511025, lines close at 7. Let's play.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
That's us into the second half of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, and we're ticking along nicely. We've got predictions for the Old Firm game, we've got team lineup suggestions, we've got a war of words. People are sticking up for their club, people are puffing their chests out, and that's just Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen in the studio. Keep them coming, loads to get through in the second hour. We play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Okay, Beat the Pundit time. Let's see if we can end the week on a high for the listeners. been quite an interesting week. We've had a few mistakes, as always, from the pundits, which is good. You've not played since the 6th of February, apparently, Hugh.
Hello.
And Scott Allen's hoping to avenge a 3-2 defeat from last Friday. One of you will take on Gordon and Motherwell. Surely not. Mr. DL, is that you?
No, it's not. No.
Oh, Jesus, how unfortunate. You ever thought about changing your name?
No, I agree.
It's a good name, but just the way he walks about acting like he's the only Gordon in the town, it doesn't leave much room for the rest of us. Anyway, are you a Motherwell fan, Gordon?
I'm at aye.
Right, well, how big is this weekend for you? Because everybody's focused on the game on Sunday, but you could put a bit of pressure on tomorrow, could you not?
Oh, definitely, aye. Even if Arsaps punch as well, it'd be even better, but aye, definitely, keep it going.
Absolutely. Let's toss the coin and see who you play. It's Blue Hugh, as always, and it is Red for Scott Allen, and it is going to be Red for Scott Allen. Let's get him lined up, give him something else to listen to, and get your questions ready, Gordon. It's 30 seconds. Answer as many as you can, and pass if you do not know the answer. All right?
No problem.
Let's go then. 30 seconds to Gordon and Motherwell, and your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's only goal last night?
What am I going?
Hearts winger Alexandros Kizaridis is which nationality?
Greek.
Before Simo Vallecari, who was the last permanent St Johnstone manager?
Kevin.
Which of the two Dundee clubs is older?
Oh, Dundee.
Who was the most recent player to score in a men's Old Firm game?
Oh, Jamaica.
How many stars are on the Aberdeen badge?
One.
Name the only country outside the UK Alan Hutton played in.
Oh, Germany.
Okay, let's bring him back. Scott Allen, can you hear us?
Yes.
Good, same set of questions. 30 seconds on the clock and your time starts now. Who scored Celtic's only goal last night?
Let me count.
Hearts winger Alexandros Kizaridis is which nationality?
Greek.
Before Simo Vallecari, who was the last permanent manager of St Johnstone?
Tommy Wright.
Which of the two Dundee clubs? Which of the two Dundee clubs is older?
Dundee.
Who was the most recent player to score in a men's Old Firm game?
Pass.
How many stars are on the Aberdeen badge?
Two.
Name the only country outside the UK Alan Hutton played in.
Turkey.
Okay, Gordon, what do you think?
That was Spain.
Ah, it's not too bad.
Let's go through them and find out. So you know the ones you got wrong already, do you? Yeah. Right, okay, let's go through them together. Luke McCowan scored the only goal last night. An easy one to kick you off. You both got it. Even if you didn't know, I think the name's a slight clue. Alexandros Kizaridis is indeed Greek. You both got it. Before Simo Vallecari, the last permanent St Johnstone manager was Craig Levein, uncle of Avril Levein, as we once discovered on Beat the Pundit. And Gordon in Motherwell got it. So he goes one in front. Which of the two Dundee clubs is older? You both went Dundee. You were both correct. So Gordon stays one in front. I'm going to come. Who is the most recent player to score in a men's Old Firm game? Who got the third?
Mikey Moore.
Mikey Moore. None of you got it. Name the only country outside the UK Alan Hutton played in. He's got Turkey vibes. I'd agree, because like Kenny Miller did it, Chris Boyd did it, Alan McGregor. It's Spain.
Yeah, it's Real Mallorca.
Real Mallorca. Which means Scott needs this to equalise. How many stars are on the Aberdeen badge? He said two. Gordon said three. It is two. Equaliser for Scott Allen. And on to a tiebreaker we go. I think we've had a few tiebreakers recently, you know. So I'm going to read the question, Gordon. I'll get Scott to write his answer down. I'll then invite you to give me your attempt, okay?
Okay.
Very easy question. Not so much the answer. How many goals were scored in the Scottish Premiership last season? Write it down, please, Scott. How many goals were scored in the Scottish Premiership last season? You can look at your league table all you want, because it won't tell you. Quickly, we've got an Old Firm game to build up to. It's nearly kick off. Teams are in the tunnel. Okay, what are you going for, Gordon?
650.
There's some difference between those two guesses. Scott Allen, sorry, has said 200. Gordon said 650. One of you's only 25 out. The answer is 675. Scott Allen, we'd have reached 200 by the September weekend, for goodness sake. Well done, Gordon. You happy with that?
Brilliant. Aye, brilliant. I've been trying to get this coin for
ages.
Good on you. So you're choosing the coin. I like your style.
Definitely. I've already got the boss, so I'm on.
Oh, do you now? Who did you beat that night?
Ross McCormick.
Ah, that's easy. That's. But there you go. You've got a coin to add to your collection. Scott Allen's devastated.
Oh,
like this.
I know.
Head and hands almost.
He's a professional. Defeat doesn't come easy.
No, he takes it badly. 2 weeks in a row.
How many was he out there?
25.
ChatGPT doesn't into it about off it.
They don't have ChatGPT in Motherwell yet. Still making its way over there. There's not a chance Gordon googled that. He was quick as a flash onto it. So what's the kind of outcome you envisage this weekend, Gordon? So Motherwell to beat Dundee United tomorrow.
Hopefully Motherwell.
And then what, a draw between the other two?
Aye, even the draw for Hearts and a draw for Firm, aye. That's the ideal, aye. Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, a Hearts defeat would be best there, but I think I was sort of going on likelihood, Hugh. None of this is guaranteed. Motherwell might not win, none of this is guaranteed, The least outlandish combination is Hearts win at home to Aberdeen because they'll be big favourites. Motherwell win at home to Dundee United because they're favourites. I think, I haven't checked, I guess, are Rangers probably favourites for the game?
I would have said so.
A draw wouldn't be a wild suggestion.
The Hearts, I repeat, are playing a very poor Aberdeen. If you lose or draw with them at home, then Derek McInnes has had a nightmare. And for Motherwell, this Dundee United side are seriously mediocre. And Motherwell, I think, are good for a 3 or 4 tomorrow.
Oh, stop it, honestly. Thank you to Gordon. The signed coin, or the coin, I should say, is on its way. We'll get your namesake to drop it off to you. That work, or you try to stay away from him?
No, that'd be all right. That'd be good.
Okay, you leave your address, I'll sort that out. He doesn't know it yet, but we'll sort it out. Motherwell buses, two along at once. Stuart is on the other line. How are you, Stuart?
Hello, yes.
Are you excited about the possibilities this weekend for you, Stuart?
Yes. I mean, the point I'm actually trying to make is, everybody's talking about Rangers and Celtic, you know, the lead. Now, if you take it mathematically, Motherwell's only 10 points behind Hearts, the Hearts, Rangers and Celtic to play, a game in hand. So if it happens to, if Celtic happen to lose on Sunday, we're only 4 points behind Celtic. We've got a game in hand. I can feasibly see, at the least, I think Motherwell will finish second this year in the league.
I'm just a little uneasy with that expression. Motherwell are only 10 points behind Hearts.
You know? I was going to pick up on it, but then to be fair, Stuart revised and went more about reining in the others.
Yeah. I know, well, you're right. 6 points behind Rangers, 4 points behind Celtic. You know, I think it's actually feasible. We should be aiming for at least second in the league this year, and I don't see why we can't achieve it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the title is beyond Motherwell, but I do think that they'll finish above one of the Old Firm teams.
So they are.
Which one?
Celtic.
Whatever one loses tomorrow.
Yeah,
I'll let you. You can answer on Sunday afternoon.
Which
one Motherwell will finish above?
We'll both get the chance to do
that. No, I think they'll finish above Celtic.
Yeah, but what if Celtic win? You'll want to take that back if Celtic win on Sunday. No, I don't mean you personally. I mean just like that, the picture can change.
They haven't beat Aberdeen at Pittodrie yet.
That's true, and Motherwell haven't won their game in hand at Dens. Mm-hmm. We're just going to keep doing this. It's never going to clear itself up because every game becomes big, but I do feel like once everybody's played the same and we've had the latest head-to-head between Rangers and Celtic, you then have you've got more information at your disposal, don't you? Clearly.
Yeah, but I just feel the way they're going, they're obviously not conceding goals. As we've spoke, we can speak all day about how good their football is, but they're scoring goals and not conceding, so they're in a really good position, mentally first and foremost, but they have real clarity in what they do. And now, between themselves and Rangers and Celtic, I think they've been the most consistent in terms of performance for what Jens has had to come in and work with. It's been really remarkable what he's done there. So they'll be looking at that on Saturday. Dundee United, seen them on Tuesday. They were poor. Pitch did play a part in it, but they were poor. And if Motherwell get it right, they'll have too much for United.
Do you know the most revealing and the daftest thing that Mercedes Jens has done? He went to Pittodrie in the Scottish Cup, and I think he picked a team with one eye on the title race. and I think he got too clever for his own good. He made too many changes, and Motherwell went out of a cup competition that they could have won.
Stuart, the manager is sort of playing it down, if you want to use that phrase, saying title talk is irrelevant to them. Is that clever? Is that trying to take pressure off? Is it focusing on the job in hand? Can he keep saying those things though, if the next couple of weeks really go in Motherwell's favour?
I think it's clever, you know, the way he's doing it, you know, playing it down. But I mean, you come on here. I mean, even if Celtic win on Saturday, on Sunday, and Motherwell win on Saturday, there's still a 4-point gap. Now, I'm talking about Celtic now. There's still a 4-point gap. Celtic's still to play Motherwell, and they've also, if they win their game in hand, there's a 1-point gap, and then when they play each other, you know, it's quite feasible. I really honestly think we'll finish at least second this year. At least. I think we can catch the two of them.
I'd actually forgotten about the scheduling, though. So Celtic go to Aberdeen first.
Yeah, Wednesday.
Before Motherwell play at the weekend. So the chance for the gap to grow, and then it has to be cut back, and it's going to be good fun. We're going to go round and round on this. Thank you to Stuart and Motherwell. What about you see that stat we read it out the other night, that Motherwell have conceded one fewer league goal than PSG this season and three fewer than Bayern Munich, Real Madrid and Arsenal. Motherwell have conceded three fewer, and I saw loads of people taking it like super literally, replying on social media saying, but those leagues are harder. It's like, yeah, we know. we're aware of that, but it's all sort of relative, and obviously Motherwell's budget in comparison to the other teams in the top of our league and all that stuff.
Well, you know, lies, damned lies and statistics. They need to get about their business, as they have been doing all season in the league. And as I say, Dundee United tomorrow, the next bridge to cross, and I think they'll cross it very efficiently.
Is this where the scheduling does get fascinating as well? Scott said about the order Celtic and Aberdeen takes place before the Motherwell game, but it's a nice situation for Hearts this weekend. It's the second weekend in a row, and this is the one that they almost, if they do their own business, they can't lose. Their position has to improve one way or the other, because something needs to give between Rangers and Celtic. Last weekend would have been the nice bonus, because we didn't really expect Rangers to drop points and Celtic to lose in the same weekend. But what an incentive for Hearts to run out tomorrow, know that if they beat an underperforming Aberdeen team, one way or the other, their position within the three must improve by Sunday evening.
Yeah, and listen, it goes in their favour having the Saturday fixture, home tie against an underperforming Aberdeen. So yeah, if they weren't to win the game, it would be a real disappointment for Derek McInnes, because they are strong favourites going into that game. We have touched on their injuries, another one in Stuart Finlay, but that is a game I fully expect Hearts to win. And then we're just going week to week again. That is the pressure that's in on Rangers and Celtic going into Sunday. So all Motherwell and Hearts can do is keep winning their games in front of them, especially their home games, and seeing what Rangers and Celtic are going to look like, because they've obviously, I think, after tomorrow, Hearts have got a wee break because the Scottish Cup next week as well gives them a chance.
And that's when Motherwell play their rearranged game away at Dundee.
Away at Dundee, so it gives them, I think it'll be maybe 2 weeks until their next game after tomorrow.
I think they're off to sunny.
Sunny Bryce. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
Oh, really? Why? Bit of sun in the back?
I don't know.
There's no team chance. Bonding.
Derek McInnes has already said it's not a jolly. And, you know, Derek,
sometimes that's out of your control here.
No.
Sometimes it helps.
Sometimes it does help, yeah.
He'll take Sir Alex with him.
That's a good point. Charlie's on the line. Hi, Charlie.
Hi, Gordon. Hi, panel. How are you doing?
Good. What are you thinking?
Well, I've been listening to the show. A lot of talk about was kind of, if you like, potentialities, what might happen, you know what I mean? Hi. Now, like, post-split, so that's a five-game league. If you get after a split, it's like a five-game league. Any team within 10 points, say after the split, one team won all their games. And I don't expand the realms of possibility that Motherwell could get it based on their form, their current form, you know. And a year ago, you'd have said, you're off your head. 6 months ago, even 3 months ago, you'd have said, you're off your head. But see, on their form, you can't say, Motherwell could win their games. And then what happens then is there's only four games left for other teams. So see, last season, and to use an example, last season, Post-split last season, I think Rangers got 4 points out of 15. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that either Hearts or Celtic or Rangers could get muddled down or bogged down in draws and a couple of losses. And if one team wins 15 points post-split, any of them could win the league.
I always get accused of running away with myself here. And I think you've just run away with yourself, because that's a hypothetical gymnastics you're playing there. You can't look at 5 games after the split and say, well, win the lot. You know,
I think any of the teams are capable of that.
No.
Based on what we've seen.
Don't think so.
No. There'll be draws in there. There will be. I think there's only 3 teams in the country that have went. Hearts have went 6, I think, Inverness and East Kilbride.
And you also have to wait.
Is that right? You've been doing your research.
You need to wait to get to the split and see what kind of state you're in. You know, as I say, I've played this game myself and you've pulled me up about it.
I just don't think we can even contemplate the split yet, because there's still so much
exactly.
to happen.
Much water to pass under the
bridge. We can get excited about it, but looking at it game to game, there's so many points before that are going to play a part.
Because Charlie, Celtic have played Hearts 3 times. They've got 1 draw and 2 defeats to show for it. They've in the league, they've played this will be the 3rd game against Rangers, haven't won yet. So that would be some improvement, wouldn't it, to go from that to then winning everything after the split?
Well, didn't you miss my point? I'm talking about Motherwell doing it.
Ah, right, oh, now we're talking. Right, aye, they'll do it easy.
I'm talking based on the form. Months ago you'd have said you're insane. It's not insane. They've not lost in goals, and that's the start of a winning team.
No, take no pleasure in pointing this out, but if I'm going to do the thing about Celtic, then need to be accurate. Motherwell haven't beaten Hearts yet in the 2 meetings, and they haven't beaten Rangers. They've got a couple of draws against them. They've got 1 win and 1 defeat. So I get, look, Motherwell have been brilliant, there's no doubt about it, Charlie, but their head-to-head record against the top 6 teams and the top 3 teams would really need to improve for that to happen after the split as well, wouldn't it?
Or edge it. They just need to edge it. I don't think Celtic have... Rangers have the problems. They're slow over the park. Celtic don't have a strike force. Hearts are hitting injuries. It's possible, Gordon. Extremely possible.
I come back to it. If I had said this to you, you would have said, oh, calm down. I mean, Charlie has got them winning everything from now until the end of the season, and that's that. But I'm very much afraid it's the old managerial cliche. You're going to have to take one game at a time, and to predict the outcome of 5 post-split matches is daft.
Is this where last night was quite important for the Celtic to kind of get a win on the board? Because
yes.
I found myself doing a U.
Yeah.
I found myself, and I'll be honest, it's not... I don't think it's disrespectful to Celtic, just because the way it had been. They lost against Stuttgart. Yep. They lost against Hibs.
Yep.
I think most people expected them to lose last night.
Yep.
And I then found myself doing a U, thinking, well, I mean, they could lose at Ibrox as well. That's not unrealistic. And then thinking, that's 4 defeats in a row. But all of a sudden, is that why last night was important, to shake a bit of that?
It stopped the Celtic supporters in their tracks, because... I don't believe, I really and truly don't believe there was a Celtic supporter who thought Celtic would win in Germany. And therefore, it just made everyone feel better about themselves, from Martin O'Neill to every man, woman and child who supports Celtic. And it just gave them a new lease of life with regard to the game on Sunday at Ibrox. That was the power of last night. If they had lost, and lost convincingly, our programme this evening would have sounded entirely different, because it would have been wall-to-wall Celtic supporters who would have been in an agitated, animated, depressed state.
Charlie, who plays in goals on Sunday?
Sinisalo, 100%. I'd say to the boys before, he never put a glove. We used to phrase earlier on the night, never put a foot wrong. That boy never put a glove wrong last night. So he's got to start for me. Love the big man, Kasper Schmeichel. You know, I'm not going to say bad things about him. He might have had bear in mind there's people in front of him as well. I don't think everyone was doing the Casper Smythe. I think Christy was going through a personal nightmare over the last few weeks, not helping him out. There was a few things not helping him out. Everything, listen, a lot of things, but he wasn't helping himself, Casper Smythe. So, no, he's got to start with Sinan Salo.
Never put a glove wrong, says Charlie in Greenock. Thank you very much. We'll be back with more of your calls when we return.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans and Scott Allen are here. Still loads of time to get your calls in, looking back on last night or thinking ahead to Sunday or even tomorrow, because we've had some Motherwell fans there. What about you, Jambos? What are you thinking? Is it a simple case? Win the game tomorrow, impress Sir Alex, feet up, hope that the other two draw on Sunday? Is that the way it works? Let us know and we'll take your calls hopefully before 8 o'clock. Let me give you this teaser before we move on.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Right, it's a big thank you to Stephen McCara for sending in, and to our new sponsors, Arcaplan Glasgow. Can you name the last 8 Old Firm goal scorers with a header? Who were the last 8 men to score with their head in the Old Firm game? Can you name them? People have got great memory for this stuff. I'm looking at
Katic.
I'm looking at some of these and thinking, was that a header? Katic is not in the last 8.
Balogun?
No.
Julian? No, oh, it was foot.
Was he onside or no, never mind. Let's not open that can of worms.
Charlie Mulgrew?
No. Looking back that far.
Ida?
Nope. Oh, it's a bad start. It's a bad start. Come on.
John Souter.
Yes, John Souter. May 2023. A 3-0 win for Rangers. Any others before I move on?
Carl Vickers.
No. Okay, we'll get back to it, I'm sure. Thank you again to Stephen McCara. Good question. And if you want to hear your question used on the show in the future, the email you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. It's fulltime@clyde1.com. Let's hear a bit more from Danny Rule talking about the atmosphere at the weekend at Ibrox.
Hearts was, yeah, a good taste how it could be at home in big games, and hopefully we can bring our part into this game on Sunday as well, that we have this atmosphere again. If we have the right mindset for this game, then I totally believe we come with a lot of confidence, and we have 51,000 in our back, and it will be a good atmosphere.
I mean, obviously, you don't get quiet Old Firm games, Hugh.
No.
But was there something about that Hearts game at Ibrox? It just felt,
yeah,
that felt kind of big in the eyes of the Ibrox fans. And
the Rangers fans have had two seasons. There was the Russell Martin episode in which they fell out with the club because they felt they had made such a dreadful appointment. And then under Danny Rule, it has grown and grown and grown to the extent that, you know, we're arguing every night on this programme over who will win the league. So I think when Celtic get there, having lost 3-1 to Rangers at Celtic Park, I think the atmosphere will be red hot, and it's something that every Celtic player is going to have to live with.
It's the age-old one, though, Scott. That's, in theory, a good thing. They call it home advantage for a reason. Rangers will really look to harness it, and Celtic will look to turn it against them. Half an hour in, Rangers haven't really bothered whichever goalkeeper it is yet. Things that inevitably go a bit flat. Is that sort of, you can see what both teams will aim to do with it tomorrow on Sunday.
Yeah, it's nothing that we're not used to seeing. Obviously, the home team wanting to start the game well, put Celtic under pressure. Obviously, off the back of travels to Germany through the week, so that's exactly what you'd expect from a Rangers perspective, with the fans backing them from Celtic. Can they frustrate? Can they cause problems early on to Rangers, who are going to come after them? So I think it's all to play for. There's no getting away from it. But the fans, if you compare it to that day at Ibrox against Hearts, they were really on it that day, and that does help. There's no getting away from it. That does help.
I'm just reminded of a Martin O'Neill related sequence of games. 25 years ago, Celtic 6, Rangers 2, Martin O'Neill's first Old Firm derby. Martin O'Neill's second Old Firm derby, Rangers 5, Celtic 1. I mean, weeks apart, there's your separate life form for you. And, you know, Martin O'Neill, he had nothing to do with the 3-1 loss at Celtic Park, because that was Wilfred Nancy in the dying days of his time there. But Martin O'Neill, you know, if that was his last ever European tie last night, he won it, and he created a unique stat. Celtic had never won in Germany. If this is to be, you know, the game that he wants to remember at Ibrox, you know, if he wants to go and win there 26 years after he last won there, you know, so I'm sure he'll want that.
You know, it's his 74th birthday on Sunday as well.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, 74 and half Danny Rule is half his age.
Will anyone have ever received as much abuse on their birthday as the Celtic manager will at Ibrox?
Well, I speak as a man in his 70s, and I've received as much abuse as Martin's had. So happy birthday, Martin, when it comes.
Just from your wife and kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Colin's also taking you on a trip down memory lane on Twitter. He says, Hugh mentioned if Celtic go into the split six behind, they can't win it. In 04-05, O'Neill Celtic won at Ibrox to go five clear with four games to play and still didn't win it. Anything can happen, says Colin on Twitter. Let's go to Donald on the phone line. Hi, Donald. Sorry?
Hello?
Are you in your bathroom? Sounds very echoey.
I'm shouting to Shavin there. Sorry about that.
Oh, right. Okay, right. Tell us what you're thinking about the weekend.
I've got 2 points, but the first point really is a lot has been made about Celtic. I'm a Rangers fan, but a lot's been made about Celtic last night, and whether that will have an impact on the team selection for Celtic. And I hope you doesn't mind me commenting on Celtic, even though I'm a Rangers fan, you know, the way he minds. But Danny Rowe commenting on Celtic. Anyway, I hope that Martin O'Neill does take notice of what happened last night and plays some of their second string. The Rangers will take care of Celtic's first string, never mind their second string. I wonder what Scott and Hugh think about that.
First of all, to go back to your cynical, sarcastic remark, the caller said that Danny Rowe was standing up for the club. I simply point out, and it means nothing to me, I simply point out he wasn't standing up for his club, he was talking about another club. And with regard to Martin O'Neill and what happened in Stuttgart, of course he has to take notes and do, because he can't play Austin Trusty, who played last night, and he has a dilemma over which goalkeeper to pick. So, of course, Martin's got a lot to think about, but I don't think you're talking about second strings. Celtic don't have a second string because they don't have enough strength and depth to have a second string. Celtic's squad is fairly threadbare so far as I can see, and that's why they are where they are. In other words, not at the top of the table.
There are some that are guaranteed to come back in, though, aren't there? You know, if he's fit, I'm assuming he is. Julian Araujo,
yep.
He comes in, he's in the first string.
Yep.
Benjamin Negrin, we mentioned yes. earlier, for his numbers, for sure. Other than that, there are a few. Well, Liam Scales, again, I know he's not necessarily everyone's cup of tea, but again, he's in the first string, if we're using that terminology. What do you think of some of the other issues? Because Hugh's right, it's not like this is a Celtic team that's won 10 in a row and there's a clear distinction there between like who's in the good team and who's not. Because Dyson Maeda started last night and didn't start at the weekend.
Teneke plays for me.
With who though?
I think he still plays Maeda. I think he still
on
plays
on the other
Maeda.
Side.
Yeah,
I think he'll play Yang.
Thought Yang done okay
just
last night.
You. He is getting better. Even you would
yeah,
concede
yeah,
that.
Yeah. My problem with Yang and Tenekte and Dyson Maeda and Rio Hatate, you just never know what you're going to get game by game. I mean, you know, Tenekte wanders onto the park at Kilmarnock and scores a magnificent goal. The following game, he's back to being Tenekte, and Yang falls into that category.
I actually thought he was all right against Hibs, you know.
He wasn't, but he didn't track his runner, did he? For the first Hibs goal.
Oh, come on, about wingers defending. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but in a Rangers Celtic game, then everyone has to defend. When you don't have the ball, you're defending. That's got to be the mentality. I think from an attacking sense, he plays for me, but that might just be the thing that Martin Neal's looking at Maeda, he has got better legs than Tinetki, and he does do the running and going back the way. He's not performed any.
Own team, Donald? Anything in particular you want to see in the team? Do you want two strikers like some of the other callers?
Two strikers, Deary, Mikey Moore in behind. I'm watching on YouTube just now. Hugh, you've been a good pundit in your day, and Tavernier's contract's up at the end of the season. And I'm just wondering if your contract's up. Because the only worry with me is the fact that you've tipped Rangers to win the league.
You just can't get over me, Donald, can you?
I thought he was going to tip you to replace Tavernier as Rangers captain there. I thought it was heading in such a weird direction.
I'll give you a perfectly honest answer to your sarcastic question, Donald. I am on a contract here, and if they don't want to renew it, then you get your wish, and I'll be away to the sunnier uplands of Bears Den.
They'll be carrying him out here in a box, Donald. Don't you worry. He's here for the long haul.
Selling out the pavilion here.
Exactly. He's a star. He's the star of the show on the pavilion on June the 3rd. Hope you've got your ticket sorted. Gary is in Blantyre. How are you, Gary?
Hi, Gordon. Good evening, Hugh and Scott. Hope you're all well.
Good, thank you. What are you thinking?
By the way, Hugh, me and you have our disagreements, and I've pulled you up about the whole shift and balance of power, but stay there. All right, I quite like you on there.
Quite like, he said. Don't get carried away.
You definitely add value.
So, thank you.
Before I go into my main point, which is about Celtic last night, I've heard two calls tonight from the other side of the divide. Just the last caller, Donald, being one of them. Now, first of all, if I was a Rangers fan, I would want Danny Rowe to be concentrating on my team after salvaging a draw last week away to the bottom team in the country, in the league. Rather than talking about who said we're playing goals and how they approached last night's game, that's just concentrate on your own team. That's what I'd be wanting as a Rangers fan if I was, God forbid, a Rangers fan. Another thing is, every time Rangers got a sniff and they're in me a shout, the fans have got the open top buses booked and they've kind of won everything before it's even won. Just learn your lesson and keep quiet until everything's done. That's what I would do as well. Anyway, on to last night. I was on last Friday night and had quite a rant, you might remember, about the booing of Kasper Schmeichel in the Stuttgart game last Thursday night. So last night, it was really good to see him having been caught, dropped, caught, rested, whatever you want, on the sideline with Martin O'Neill, almost like a coach, and kind of encouraging the team. No sign of pettiness, no resentment, it's a professional, the utmost professional you would expect for a guy Kasper Schmeichel's kind of background and career. But I do think Sinan Salah last night surely has tipped Martin Neal's towards him for Sunday. He looks confident, competent, made some good saves. I also think he kind of gave confidence to the defence in front of him. I think they just looked a better unit last night. They defended resolutely when they had to. And I just think Sinan Salah was the kind of foundation of that, being in the goal.
I think Kasper Schmeichel, being the professional, the seasoned professional that he is, will understand that the manager must be allowed to manage. And therefore, if Martin O'Neill thinks that Sinan Salah would be the better bet on Sunday at Ibrox, that's Martin O'Neill's prerogative. As we always say about managers, they stand or fall by the decisions they make. So I think Kasper Schmeichel would have to understand that. And I noticed when Sinan Salah made his first good save of the game, the cameras panned on to Kasper Schmeichel in the dugout, and he was applauding what Sinan Salah had done. That for me is professional respect, and therefore I'm sure that Schmeichel will understand if he's not playing from the start at Ibrox, it's Martin O'Neill's prerogative. The manager must be allowed to manage.
Gary, what do you think the outcome is at the weekend? We're getting to that stage late in the show where we'll start throwing some predictions around. What are you thinking?
I'm not going to make any bold predictions, but one thing I will say is I'm certainly a lot more confident after last night. Because, again, last night, if we'd have lost 3-4-5-0 last night, I'm not saying that meant we'd have lost Ibrox, but if they went there, the players would probably still feel deflated and as if they were underperforming. That result, it could be a kickstart or it could be a false dawn. You never know. But I think that I'm a bit more confident going after last night than I was before. Still be a close game, I think. But I think if you're asking a Rangers fan this, they've got it won already. Now, I remember 2011, New Year's game. We were into the game, massive underdogs, Ibrox and Mr. Samaras come up with two goals. So you never know, especially in a season like this. But yeah, I would take a draw.
See, I think I did.
Would you take a draw, did you say there?
I would take a draw right now if you offered me, because I just don't know what Celtic are going to turn up.
No, but even if that, so, even if that,
if you back it up against Aberdeen,
even if that though came the day after Hearts win, then and go even further ahead.
Yeah, I still think I'd rather be in Hearts' position than Celtic's, absolutely. But I'm still thinking that if we finish above Rangers, then we're winning that league.
That's ooh, what I think. You think Hearts are third or yes, worse?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I wouldn't rule out Motherwell, and I've said this to people at work and in group chats. Motherwell are the informed team and they don't look like losing. So you can't, you might not want to admit it, and the Mercedes-Benz might not want to admit it. They're in the title race, absolutely. But yeah, just because I don't know what Celtic will turn up. If Celtic turn up and play the way they can play, then I think they should win at Ibrox.
Okay, but thank you very much to Gary. I'll need to nip it there. I'm very late for this break, and I need to tell you that we are celebrating our official partnership with the Glasgow International Comedy Festival. It's running from the 11th to the 29th of March across the city. We're giving away tickets and meals to some of the festival's best shows. We've done this in the last few years. It's great because it's like a night out on us, if you like. So tomorrow afternoon you can win a pair of tickets to Conor Burns' show Gallus at the King's on the 14th of March. The show's completely sold out, so this is your only way in. And chucking in an overnight stay at Yotel on Argyle Street and a two-course meal with drinks at Gost Steak Restaurant on Bothwell Street. A proper weekend, that. Nice. So find out exactly how you can win tomorrow on the show from 2pm. And remember, you can check out everything going on across the month at GlasgowComedyFestival.com. We'll be back with the answers to that teaser.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
We're on the home stretch with Scott Allen and Hugh Keevans, which means we're getting ever closer to kick off at Tynecastle and Fir Park tomorrow. Getting closer to kick off at Ibrox on Sunday. What a weekend this is going to be. It is guaranteed drama. That's the way, that the stakes are so high, Hugh.
Yeah.
It's been like the last few weekends. Even if the games were rotten, that in itself leads to drama because the league table is just so tense.
I've yet to meet a person either involved in the game or a fan who has not been blown away by this season and all its madness. You know, and I'm not even talking about Rangers and Celtic changing their manager mid-season. Celtic have had three managers this season. Just the games on the park, utterly unpredictable. And the tension is rising, the excitement is rising, and that tomorrow's games are, I mean, even Dundee and Hibs or Livy and St Mirren, you know, St Mirren dropping. Big Marv keeps on saying he does not believe that Livy will go down. Well, tomorrow, once again, you're looking at Marvin and thinking, you know, you really need to win or else you are going down.
Just, I was actually talking about how much things have changed. So the last one that it was Martin O'Neill involved was obviously the League Cup semi-final.
Yeah.
And you just, you know, look through that day. I mean, Johnny Kenny scored for Celtic, not there anymore. Callum Osmond scored for Celtic.
Yeah. Johnny Kenny
pretty much a giving it away, a kind of season ending injury, if you like, or there or thereabouts. Danilo started up front for Rangers. Derek Cornelius started. I don't think we'll see him from the beginning, albeit he's coming back. You know, Joe Rothwell was still around before he went. Finlay Curtis was in the bench. It just, so much has changed in just a couple of months. No, yeah, you know, nobody had heard of Aruko at any point, or yeah, Chavanchara. Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain would have been a wild suggestion. It's just, what a season of chaos it's been. On that, I've given away a clue to the teaser, haven't I? So the question was the last eight Old Firm goal scorers with a header. What was
Johnny
the most recent
Kenny.
One? Johnny Kenny. Well done. You've got John Souter. You've got loads still to get.
Did Liam Scales do it?
No.
Rashkan.
Yes. They're not all big, if that helps.
Maeda.
Yes.
Dessers.
Yep. okay, three to get, we'll get them before the end. Anything else that deserves a bit of attention at the weekend? Down the bottom, Livy St Mirren.
Yeah,
if it hasn't been Last Chance Saloon already, is this Last Chance Saloon for our old pal Marvin?
We were in contact last week, and he's amazingly confident, and you know, he's not kidding on. He thinks the great escape is possible. Well, again, he did it against Rangers, and Rangers get to 2-2 and 9 minutes are added on. You fear the worst for Livy, but it didn't happen. So tomorrow, at home to St Mirren, he's got goal scorers on his team, Marvin, and St Mirren, I was going to say, they don't travel
huge
well.
Huge game for St Mirren.
Yeah, they don't play well at home, never mind don't travel well. It's got to turn around for Stephen Robinson soon, and that's a big game for him as well.
Because although it seems like St Mirren are on the receiving end of most of the negativity down there, there's this perception that Killie have improved, which I think they have, by the way. But Killie are going to Falkirk, really tough place to go. St Mirren have still a game in hand. So again, we're talking about all these possibilities, all these ifs, buts and maybes at the top. Scott Allen, if St Mirren can beat the bottom side Livy, who as much as they've improved, still haven't won since August, if St Mirren can win that and Kilmarnock don't go to Falkirk and win, then all of a sudden St Mirren would be the ones feeling a bit better about themselves down there. It's fraught everywhere. You look at that table, apart from the race to get to the top six, that looks over, doesn't it?
It really is. But the games, even up until they split against teams round about you, if you're a Marvin Bartlett Livingston, you have to be winning the games now. No getting away from it. When it goes to the bottom six, all the teams can win on their day against each other. There's not been any real continuity about any of the teams' performances throughout the season. But I'm with you, Gordon. I think if Livingston don't win tomorrow, it'll be too far to climb back from.
Do your old team Hibs go to Dundee, your other old team, and win?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
Dundee have got some good players.
So have Hibs.
Went to Pittodrie last week and won.
Stephen Presley has started to do that.
You know, what was it he called him again after the game?
Jobby team.
I just wanted to hear Hugh say it. And you find well what it was. I just wanted to hear Hugh say word.
Stephen Presley, beaten Celtic for the first time in many years, Aberdeen at Pittodrie for many years. He's clocking up these stats. And I don't think that Hibs are by any manner of means a sure thing at Dens Park tomorrow. It's just part of a card that's fascinating as we wait two more sleeps to Ibrox.
Let's leave it there. We're almost out of time. Thanks to our sponsors, Arcoplan Glasgow. Thanks to Steve McCara for the question. The last eight Old Firm scorers with the head: Johnny Kenny, Nicholas Raskin, Dyson Maeda, Cyril Dessers, John Souter. Two Rangers, one Celtic still to get.
Tav?
Yes. The Celtic one, I'll try and paint the picture for you. The reason you maybe don't have it is he's really not a headerer of the football, this guy. But if you remember it, it was down the right side of the box at Hampden, just kind of stood
Jota.
Up. Jota, well done. And remember that League Cup final, the 3-3, December 2024? There was a Rangers striker who scored a header.
Egerman?
Nope. I think I mentioned him earlier. He's not at the club currently.
Danilo.
Thank you, Hugh Evans and Scott Allen. To everyone else, rest up. We're going to need everything we've got for this weekend to get through it together. It is going to be a blockbuster Saturday, followed by an unmissable Sunday. We cannot wait. Make sure you stay right here for the GBX on a Friday night, just to get you in the mood. And then tomorrow, Saturday afternoon's Clyde One Super Scoreboard from 2 p.m. Have a good one.